The delay, a little bit of technical difficulties. If someone could just indicate, are you able to hear me? Am I audible?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, so I think we're up to Hayesod HaShishi. Hayesod HaShishi HaNevua, the sixth of the 13 fundamental principles of belief is prophecy. Who? So that's the quintessential statement or formulation of the fundamental principle, the existence of prophecy. Now comes the elaboration. For who leida to know sheyesh shebeminha enoshi hazeh in humankind, efshar, it's possible sheyimatz ubnei adam, that there will be people sheyesh lahem tchunos meulos maod, who in terms of character traits are very noble, who shleimus rabba, and the high degree of perfection. V'konenu nafsham, and they have primed, they have prepared or primed their soul, their intellectual soul, ad kidei kabbalas tzuras haseichel, so that they are ready for this metaphysical experience. V'oso haseichel ha'noshi, their human intellect, misdabek, it clings during the moment or span of prophecy. It's misdabek, it clings b'sechel hapoel, with the angelic intelligence. V'netzal mimenu alehem, and from that angelic intelligence emanates atzilus nechboda. It's something, is there's an emanation, there's a transfer from that angelic intelligence to the human intelligence in this metaphysical experience. The Elohim HaNeviim, such individuals are the prophets. The Zohi HaNevua, and what I've just sketched for you, says the Rambam, is what constitutes prophecy. V'zehu inyana, and this is its content, its substance. Ubiyo yisod ze alboyo ye orech ma'od. To explain this adequately would require tremendous elaboration. Moreover, within this listing of the Yud Gimel Ikarim, of the 13 principles of faith, it's not our intention, says the Rambam, lohavi mofes al kol yisod mehem, to provide the logical proof or demonstration. For instance, in Yisod number one, the Rambam didn't prove to us the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, despite the fact that the Rambam elsewhere does walk us through, guide us through those proofs, because what he intends in the Yud Gimel Ikarim is a formulation of the principles of faith, not a demonstration of the principles of faith. So the Rambam says, I'm not providing that dimension here either, because that's not my goal here in presenting the Yud Gimel Ikarim. ubiwa ofane hasagasam. The fisha zehu klala chokmos kulam. That basically requires to encompass all branches of wisdom. Ela azkireim, what I'm setting out to do in the Yud Gimel Ikorim is to mention them, to list them, again, to formulate the principle of belief, but it's not my intent presently to demonstrate the principle of belief. And then as the Rambam does with each of the Yud Gimel Ikorim, in terms of telling us where we find this in the Chumash, so the Rambam says, I don't have to identify one or two solitary psukim here or there, because uksuve haTorah meidim al nevuas neviim abim. There are so many psukim in the Chumash which attest, which describe the prophetic experience and encounter of so many different neviim, of Avram, of Yitzchak, of Yaakov, etc. Okay, let's try to discuss a little bit and try to understand. The Rambam's one word encapsulation of the Yesod HaShishi, HaNevuah, is crucial. Meaning that is the core of the sixth principle of belief. And on that, as with the other Yud Gimel Ikarim, there's a consensus omnium amongst all the Chachmei HaMasorah throughout the generations. For instance, just to mention one representative source, the Ramban in his famous comments at the end of Parshas Bo, where the Ramban is explaining why there are so many mitzvahs in the Torah which are Zecher Liyetzias Mitzrayim. Why is recalling the process of the Exodus with all its miraculousness, why is that so central to Torah mitzvahs, that there are so many mitzvahs in the Torah which are Zecher Liyetzias Mitzrayim? So the Ramban says, Kashi Yitzoh Elokim, he says there were three groups of heretics and three types of heresy that from the days of Enosh and on had emerged. One, Rachman Litzlan, were those who were atheists. There were others who were theists in that they acknowledged the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but they denied any connection between him and the world. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't even aware of what happens in our world. He's too exalted in their opinion to know what's happening in our world. So that type of theism, of deism, was the second type of heresy that emerged. And the third one acknowledged not only the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and not only HaKadosh Baruch Hu's omniscience and knowledge of everything that happens in our world, but they denied any providence. They said it's beneath HaKadosh Baruch Hu's dignity to care, kavayochol, as it were, about what's happening in the world. So those were the three groups of heretics, the three types of heresy that had emerged from the times, from the generation of Enosh, and that were pervasive at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Says the Ramban, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses whether it's a particular individual or a particular group or nation, and he performs miracles on their behalf, clearly targeted miracles to save them for their benefit, for their welfare. So the Ramban says this dispels all three of those forms of heresy. Ki hamofes hanifla, a miracle, something that happens that defies natural law, attests to the fact sheyesh lo olam eloka, that there's a God who created the world, who knows, who can therefore, since he created the world, he can override natural law. From the fact that the miracle targets, benefits his people who are in need of that miracle, it clearly attests to the fact that he knows what's happening in our world and that he exercises a divine providence. Then the Ramban adds, V'kasha yiyya hamofe sahu nigzar t'chila mipi novi. And when that miracle or that series of miracles is predicted beforehand by a prophet, so then in addition to these other yisodos ha'emunah, yisparei mimenu od amitas hanevuah. How could Moshe Rabbeinu know that the water in the Nile is gonna turn to blood? How could Moshe Rabbeinu be able to predict that there was going to be a swarm of frogs, or maybe the miracle was initially it was one frog? How could Moshe Rabbeinu know that to tell Paro, and how could he tell him about the lice, etc.? So clearly Moshe Rabbeinu had inside information. Clearly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu communicates. Clearly, there is prophecy. V'kasha yiyya mofes ahu nigzar t'chila mipi navi yisbara mimenu od amitas hanevuah. So then the veracity of prophecy, that there is such a thing as prophetic communication, is also established, is also proven. And now listen to this phrase in the Ramban, v'tiskaye mimzeh ha-Torah kula. And now we've provided the firm basis for belief in Torah. So that nevuah is one of the principles of belief, that there is nevuah, and that recognizing that is one of the principles of belief, that there's a consensus omnium. Where there isn't a consensus omnium is what comes later, when the Rambam is elaborating and he's also sharing elements which are not indispensable to belief in the Ikar, where the Rambam explains how Nevuah happens. And specifically, the Rambam's opinion is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that a person who is unworthy of Nevuah never receives Nevuah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu only bestows Nevuah on a person who's worthy of Nevuah. What is worthiness for Nevuah entail? So that's what we read before, that there are tchunos mu'ulos ma'od, character perfection, character refinement, to the level of degrees of perfection. Number two, intellectual perfection, that the person studies and that the person attains, again, degrees of perfection in terms of his intellectual understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, etc. When it comes to that, here, again, in this non-essential element, in terms of, is there such a thing as a miracle of someone unworthy of Nevuah, receiving Nevuah? So here there is definitely a difference of opinion. And there are those who don't agree on this respect and think, no, that there are times, there are moments when HaKadosh Baruch Hu grants Nevuah even to someone who's unworthy of Nevuah. According to the Rambam's approach, what does it mean when we have psukim in Chumash, such as Vayovel Kim Alovan, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the literal, right, the literal translation of the pasuk is that Hashem comes to Lovan. Lovan Arami didn't exactly achieve a character perfection, nor did Lavan Arami spend invest too much effort in terms of developing cultivating intellectual perfection either. What does it mean, given how corrupt an individual Bilam was? So what does it mean, seemingly, that the Torah describes Bilam having nevuah? So the Rambam says that the words Vayavo Elokim or Vayera Elokim can connote nevuah, but don't always connote nevuah. And what Vayavo Elokim just means is that a message comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to a recipient. That message may be delivered via prophetic experience, or it may be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu causes the person to have a dream, but not that he's having a prophetic experience in the dream, but that instead of his dreaming, whatever Lavan usually dreamed about, but instead of Lavan having his normal dream, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, inserts content into the dream. And in that sense, it's Vayav Elokim, but not in the sense of prophetic experience. Moshel Lamado Vadome. Let's say two people can communicate either, let's say we can have a conversation. And we can engage in face-to-face or computer-to-computer communication, as the case may be, right? So that's one form of communication. Or we can exchange emails. Or if anyone has a really good memory, we can write letters, and we can communicate that way. So both would be correctly and accurately described as communication, but obviously they're two very different experiences, right? One experience is a personal interaction. If two people are sitting across a table and talking, so there's a personal interaction, as opposed to if they're exchanging emails or exchanging letters, you don't have that dimension of personal interaction, but there's still communication. So that's maybe a little bit of a mushel for what the Rambam is telling us, that not everything that we find described in the Chumash as Vayava Elokim means prophetic encounter. It means communication, but the communication might be the analog, you know, returning to our mushel, it might be the analog of a letter, of an email, as opposed to the analog of a personal encounter, of a personal face-to-face communication. So that's the opinion of the Rambam, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu grants nevuah only to individuals who are worthy, A, by dint of a high degree of character perfection, having refined and purified their character traits, and B, by dint of the intellectual attainment and intellectual perfection. The Malbim is of the opinion that even the Rambam will concede an exception to this rule. The Malbim in the beginning of Sefer Yirmiyahu, maybe he says it elsewhere as well, but this is certainly one place where he suggests that he thinks that the Rambam would concede that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes an exception if at a moment in history HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to send a Navi to Klal Yisrael. And at that moment in history, there's no one worthy of nevuah. So the Malbim says what HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for the sake of the klal, for the sake of the Jewish people, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu will elevate this person. The norm what when it comes to nevuah, is that the person has to attain that worthiness of nevuah on his own. And for a person to ever merit nevuah just for the individual perfection that it offers, so then the Rambam has no exception. A person will only merit nevuah if he's proved himself worthy of nevuah. If, however, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants at that moment in history to send a message to the Jewish people, and at that moment in history there's no one worthy of nevuah, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even then, it's person still has to be worthy, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu will, as it were, give him a boost. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help the person refine his character. HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't rely on this person attaining it on his own. So the Malbim, again, has this sort of partial exception that he thinks that the Rambam would allow for, and that would answer, he says, most of the questions people ask on the Rambam. There's no indication in Sefer Shoftim that Manoach is someone who is worthy of Nevuah. Well, there's no indication that Gidon is someone worthy, is a persona who's worthy of Nevuah. Says the Malbim, the Rambam would agree that when there's communal need that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to address, so then he will elevate the individual to that level of worthiness. Okay. I'd like to read you now just a couple of lines from my grandfather's essay, Isha HaLocha, towards the end of Isha HaLocha. Initially to read and then to try to get a little bit of a handle on the insight which he's offering. The belief in prophecy, writes the Rav, has an ethical and practical dimension. Skipping half a sentence, prophecy is man's ultimate goal, the end point of all his desires. But let's especially focus on that first half of the sentence. The belief in prophecy has, again, this is the English translation. Ishalach was written in Hebrew. The belief in prophecy has an ethical and practical dimension. What does that mean? When the Rambam is describing and defining Nevuah for us, and he describes and defines that Nevuah is only experienced by people worthy of Nevuah, so in the course of doing so, the Rambam is also identifying for us what human potential is. When the Rambam tells us about the Yisod of Tchias HaMesim, that in the end of days there's going to be physical resurrection, and those who have already died, so body and soul will be reunited and there will be physical resurrection, there's no ethical and practical dimension to that. There's no mandate for us that emerges from that. It's a principle of belief, a fundamental principle of belief. But the Yisod HaShishi, says the Rav, contains an ethical and practical dimension. What does he mean? Because when the Rambam is describing and defining for us what Nevuah is, so both here in the Perush HaMishnayos, which we just read together, Leida Shebiminu Enoshi, Efshe Sheimotzu B'nei Adam, in describing and defining who's worthy of Nevuah, who experiences Nevuah, the Rambam reveals to us how exalted human potential is. And in so doing, there emerges a mandate that we should realize just how much a person can elevate himself. We can realize from the Yisod HaShishi just how much a person can and sanctify himself. We should realize from the Yesod HaShishi to what heights a person can attain, the incredible potential latent in a human being. Not to encourage megalomania, not to encourage delusions of having prophecy, but to know what our potential is, to know how incredible our potential is. Efshar means it's possible, this potential. The potential exists for people to cultivate such tchunos me'ulos me'od, to so refine their characters, to so ennoble themselves. And v'konenu nafsham ad kabot kedei kabot tzuras ha-seichel, and to so purify and elevate their intellect and their intellectual attainment that they position themselves to receive HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Nevuah. So that, again, that's what the Rav is telling us. That's not only the statement of a fundamental belief, which it is, but latent within that is also a mandate of what we aspire to realize what we can attain. And that same, the Rav points out, that the same is true when the Rambam revisits this, again, in the Rambam's literary career. So he wrote the Perush HaMishnayos before he authored his magnum opus of the Mishnah Torah. So he's now revisiting this in the Mishnah Torah, in Perek Zayin of Yesodei HaTorah. Let's read a few lines together. Mi Yesodei Adas Leida, it's one of the fundamentals of belief, of religion, to know Shahakel Menabe Es B'nei Adam, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu grants prophecy to people. And then the Rambam says, Einanu, following up on what he's told us here in the Perush HaMishnayos, that Nevuah is given to individuals who are worthy of such. Einanu Nevuah Chola Ela Al Chocham Godol V'Chochma. He has to be a tremendously erudite, learned person. Gibor B'Midosav. He has to be someone who's a towering figure in terms of his character, in terms of his character traits. The self-control and the self-discipline that this individual exhibits is such that the self-control and self-discipline always prevails. He never succumbs just to an urge. Elohim misgabe b'daito al yitzro tamid. But with that self-control, self-discipline, he prevails over, again, just base or basic instincts and urges. Baldeya rechova nechona ad ma'od. A person with, again, tremendous sweep to his knowledge, to his understanding. But now, I just to read a couple of more points and then to juxtapose an observation that we mentioned from the Rav. When you have such an individual, v'hum miskadesh v'holech, he's becoming increasingly sanctified. Uporesh midarke klal ha'am. You see that he's different from most people, haholchem b'machashake hazman, who spend their lives walking in the darkness of ephemeral life. But he, on the contrary, holechem mezarez atzmo, he's constantly exhorting himself. Umelamed nafsho, and he's training himself. He doesn't focus on idle matters. And let's notice especially this next phrase, please, Rabbi Hossein. V'lo mehavle hazman v'sachbulosav. The prospective Navi, the one who ultimately attains Nevuah, what characterizes him? That he's not, his mind does not wander. He doesn't entertain thoughts about havle hazman, about the futilities of transient existence. He's not interested in physical pleasure for its own sake. He's not interested in amassing wealth for the sake of amassing wealth. All these transient, ephemeral, unredeemed olam hazeh dikya involvements, they don't interest him. He's not focused on havle hazman, on the futilities and the vanities of what's only transient. He's not interested in the glory of olam hazeh. He's not interested in the pleasures of olam hazeh. He's not looking for the riches of olam hazeh. But remember, please, that phrase havle hazman, and the context of that phrase was the depiction of the person who ultimately became worthy of Nevuah and is the Navi. The Rambam is describing for us the persona of the Navi. So remember that phrase, havle hazman, and then let's listen and let's review to another halacha in the Rambam, a very, very famous halacha. It's in Yana de Yoma. It's imminently seasonal, this halacha. Afal pi shetzkeyas ha-shofa, shetzkeyas shofa Rosh Hashanah gzeres ha-kosuf, even though we can't establish definitively a cause for a particular mitzvah, remez yeshbo. We can't affix a definitive cause for the mitzvah tzkiyas shofar, but we can glean something about the religious experiential content to the mitzvah. Klomar, what's the message that we hear in the kol shofar? Uru, uru, yeshenim yeshen aschem. Those of you who are asleep, awaken from your sleep. V'hakitzu nirdomim mitavdam aschem. And be aroused from your slumber. V'chipsu b'masechem, scrutinize your actions. Take inventory. V'chizru b'tshuva, repent. V'zechru barachem, remember your Creator. To whom is the kol shofar addressed? So we know the kol shofar is addressed to all of us, right? So now look at the Rambam's description. Eilu hashochichem esra emes. The kol shofar is a wake-up call to all of those, all of us, hashochachem asa emes, who forget truth. Why? What distracts us from the truth? Listen to the next two words, bahavle hazman. Because we're so immersed in the havle hazman, right? That same phrase that we saw the Rambam employed in describing what the Navi avoids. So what's so remarkable, and this is the insight which my father, Zichron Levracha, offered, is that when the Rambam describes what Tzkiyas Shofar should inspire within us, when the Rambam describes what Tzkiyas Shofar should trigger within us, he speaks in the same categories as he does in describing the Navi. What's the significance of that? It means it's a continuum. It means that the Navi isn't someone who's just totally a different creature than the rest of us. No, it's someone who did to perfection what all of us should be involved in. It's someone who accomplished to perfection the work, the task, the challenge that's given to all of us. That challenge of living a life focused on what's meaningful, what's enduring, on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on his Torah, on his mitzvahs, on his people. That challenge at which the Navi excels, and not being sidetracked and not being weighed down by the Havlei Azman, by the vanities of passing, ephemeral, transient vanities, that's a challenge given to each and every one of us. The Kol Shofar is not just addressed to Nevi'im. The Kol Shofar is addressed to all of us. The Navi, yes, the Navi does end up very different than the rest of us, but the path was, he travels the same road that we're all supposed to travel. And that dovetails so beautifully with my grandfather's observation that the Yesod HaShi did as well, because it identifies for us just how exalted human potential is. And in so doing, the Yesod HaShishi serves not only as a formulation of a principle of belief, but also as a challenge, as an exhortation to all of us to rise above the trivialities and pettiness of all that is transient, to be focused on what's enduring, what's ultimately meaningful. Any involvement for the mundane with the mundane should be framed, contextualized, and necessitated by higher, more exalted end goals. That should never be the goal unto itself. So the Yesod HaShishi, it's a formulation of a principle of belief, but it's also a challenge. It's also a roadmap for how to live meaningfully, how to transcend just the Havlei Azman, the emptiness or the vanities, which we can, if we're conscious of it, not become weighed down by, not become entangled within, and to try to achieve as much of that exalted human potential which lies within each and every one of us. I think tonight was the end of our series. I thank you very much for the opportunity to learn together. We didn't quite make it through all the Yud Gimel Yikarim, but I hope at least our understanding and appreciation of the first six has been a little bit enhanced. And I wish everyone well. Everyone should be well and be safe. And we should try to respond to that challenge and that mandate of the Yesod HaShishi. Thank you very much.
Thank you.